So you've been working your way through of what it means to be a United Methodist. Now, when I think about what it means to be a Christian, what I think, especially one of a Methodist bent, I like to look at this picture. Okay, there we go. It's a Jerusalem cross. Have you seen this image before? This is one of my favorite images. John Wesley was mostly concerned when he was trying to revive the Anglican Church with how to best love God and go up, and how to love others going down, right? This kind of angle. And so he divided things up between public acts, things that you do in public, like worshiping, like singing, and he also divided things in private, things that you do in private, devotion, small groups, even singing, right? That goes across the thing. And those are ways that we can love God, right? And then there's also the lower quadrants of how we love each other, love our neighbors through acts of compassion and acts of justice. And today, we're going to talk mostly about acts of compassion. Now, it can be pretty easy to say, yes, I love God. I spend time in scripture. I spend time in worship. I even sing out lustily and with good courage. Amen. We're working on that, right? All of my congregations are working on that, right? But it can be really hard to love our neighbor, right? Neighbors, other people, they're tricky, right? They're so there. They're in traffic. They're in the grocery stores being slow or being indecisive. I admit to that, right? When the weather gets warmer, they leave evidence of their dog walking on our yards, right? They want to know all about us, and they don't want to talk to us. They're not friendly, right? People are so tricky. So when we are called to be compassionate, it can be really hard to love the people that are right here with us, right? And yet, to grow in faith, to look at this kind of public, private, loving God, loving others kind of balance, we are called to lend a helping hand, called to love even those folks who blare their music at 10 o'clock at night, called even to love those people, right? To have a kind of compassion for the neighbors among us. Will you pray with me this morning? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Henry Nouwen, who is a Dutch writer, a very wonderful spiritual writer, once told of his experience of how he learned compassion, especially as a young 13-year-old boy living in Holland at the end of the final years of World War II. He and his family lived on a farm across the rivers from where the D-Day armies were invading, and there was lots of people going hungry. One of the highlights of young Henry's life was a goat. The goat's name was Walter, and he loved Walter. The first thing he did when he got up in the morning was go out to feed Walter. As he walked to and from school, he would collect acorns in his pockets to feed Walter. When he got home from school, he would clean out Walter's pen. They would go on walks together. He loved Walter. And then one morning he woke up, and Walter wasn't in his pen. Someone had stolen Walter. And Henry, young Henry, was inconsolable in his grief. He cried and he cried, and his parents couldn't console him. So much grief. Years later, when the war was over and people were finally able to fill their stomachs again, his father came clean and told him that he knew that the gardener had taken Walter to feed the gardener's family. The father knew this and didn't tell Henry. He never confronted him, never said anything about it, even though the father had this knowledge. Looking back on this episode in his life, Henry realized that he had learned about compassion, first from Walter the Goat, and second, from his father. Compassion, to feel with, to be moved by, from the bottom of the heart, sometimes even from the bowels, right? You know that it has to be serious when the bowels get involved. And sometimes we feel compassion to the depths of our bowels, wanting to help, wanting to make things better. Sharing the feelings of others, walking in their shoes, right? Possessing a desire to help them. When we have compassion for someone, we try to feel what they are feeling and to meet their needs in their pain. And now in story, Henry, now in story, he learned compassion from his goat, what it meant to love someone and think about their needs, making sure that he had a clean place to rest and the food that he liked to eat. And he also learned compassion from his father, who felt the gardener's family's hunger and pain, and by not saying anything, gave them a means to survive a very dark time in history. In our first scripture reading this morning, Jesus says that we are told that Jesus felt compassion for the crowds that had gathered there because they were troubled and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus, the Son of God, felt love at that deep gut level, right? A love for those who were uncommitted, who were lost, who were afraid. And this isn't the first time or the last time that we hear that Jesus had compassion in Scripture. Story after story in the New Testament tells us that Jesus came not for those who were healthy and strong, but those who were the least, the last, the lost. Jesus spoke of gathering up people like a hen gathers her chicks. He resisted sending away those who had spent days listening to his teachings for fear that they wouldn't have enough strength to get home because of hunger. Jesus healed the sick and restored those who had been cast out of their homes for fear of disease. He gave them hope and reminded them of God's love. Jesus comforted a widow and restored her son to life with a touch. Over and over and over again, the gospel writers tell us that Jesus had compassion, that deep, wrenching need to help, to restore. And Jesus did this, even knowing who these people were, knowing that some of these people had lied, maybe they had stolen, maybe they had cheated, maybe they had lashed out in violence and someone weaker than them. Maybe these people didn't even know God. Jesus knew these things, knew the faults of these people he was helping, and he still had compassion for them. Why? Because in the beginning, Jesus was God, and Jesus was with God. Because God is love. Not in a superficial, I love tacos kind of way, although tacos are immensely worthy of being loved, right? But in a real way, right? A love that knows people and knows their deepest, darkest secrets, that knows our deepest and darkest secrets and needs and wants and desires and curls up in the shadows of our hearts as well. God is love in a way that looks beyond the clothes or whatever technology we carry around in our pocket, or how a person looks. God is love. Of course, I'm sorry. Technology, right? It's so great. God is love in a way that hears past the accent or the slang and listens to the self that is drowned out in the noise of the everyday, to the parts of us that want to be loved, that need to be loved, that are afraid of being loved. God is love in a way that doesn't get impatient when we mess up or when we get it wrong. God loves us more than that. God feels for us. God wants to help us. God created us in God's own image, in a good and beautiful image it is. And then God gave it up. all that power, all of the acts of creation, God poured himself out and became human, just like us. As the gospel writer John puts it, Jesus came into the world not to condemn it, but to save it. Christ emptied himself out to become humble to the point of being a baby, as we all were. Now, when was the last time you told a small infant, okay, you're responsible, start earning a job, start earning money? Anyone? No? No one's done that? How about giving an infant chores? That kind of responsibility. Anyone? No. Babies aren't responsible. Babies eat. They sleep if we're lucky. They dirty a few diapers. And they repeat. That's what babies do. Right? That's all that babies can accomplish. And yet that is the form that our God chose to put on. Our skin. Instead of stepping into our shoes, our God stepped into our skin and wiggled around in it and crawled in it and walked in it and learned his father's craft in it and loved in it and went to weddings as one of us, ate as one of us, loved as one of us. That is compassion, knowing and loving as we are. And God had compassion for his people, alone, lost, and afraid. And we are called to do the same, to balance a life filled with so many good things with compassion for those who have so little. Now, we're not called to have compassion because of how important it makes us feel or how it makes us feel better about ourselves. We aren't called to have compassion only for those who are deserving of it or because they are properly thankful, because God doesn't love us because we are deserving or properly thankful. We are called to have compassion because we are called to live like Christ, called to love ourselves, called to love as Christ has loved. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says, once again, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in the community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you have a care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Forget yourselves long enough to have a helping hand. Now that may seem kind of exhausting, doesn't it? A tall order, a never-ending, thankless task in this broken world. There's an old story about a couple who were worn out. Anyone have that feeling? They were committed to their work, to their jobs, to their children, to their church, right? And they were just exhausted. Finally, they decided to schedule a time to get away, to have a break. And so, being like any smart Northern Illinoisans, they, in the middle of the snow, they scheduled time away at a beach. Can I get an amen? Right? First night they were there, however, a storm lashed their hotel. And they laid in bed and just heard the storm and the waves crashing. The next morning, the woman got out of bed and went for a walk along the beach. And there on the sands were hundreds, thousands of starfish that had washed along the shore during the night storm. She walked a little ways, and in the distance she was surprised to see a small figure, a child, who every now and then would stop, pick something up off the ground, and hurl it into the ocean. She kept walking, and the figure approached, and she'd see it was a small child, and the child again and again stopped, picked up a starfish, threw it into the ocean. When they got close enough to talk, the woman said, "What are you doing? There's so many. How can you make a difference here?" And the woman said, and the child said, simply knelt, picked up another starfish, threw it in and said, that one, and made all the difference in the world. In this world, in times such as these, it can be so hard, it can be so easy to turn a blind eye or a deaf ear, to have hearts of stone. We can forget ourselves and lend a helping hand. But there's no balance in forgetting about other people. The scales tip from compassion into selfishness. From there, it's an easy path to fear. Without compassion, we cannot follow Christ. Paul in Philippians said to us all, forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. I hear him saying to us, forget yourselves long enough to look around. Who is lost and how can I help them? Forget yourselves long enough to ask, where are the hungry and how can I feed them? Forget yourselves long enough to ask, what could be causing this behavior? Forget yourselves long enough to love, to help others get ahead. Forget yourselves and find God showing up in compassion. Will you pray with me? Oh, divine Master, grant that we forget ourselves, seeking to console rather than to be consoled, to understand rather than be understood, to love rather than to be loved. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.